Harrison says, holding up a cup of coffee. I know it's not good for the baby, but I refuse to sleep. I need to know my husband is okay before I close my eyes. I take the paper cup from him and sit up. I wipe at my cheek, trying to rub away the makeup running down my face. I look around briefly and see a few more people in this room waiting. Are they all here for the same reason, or something different? It makes me wonder who is here because of a car accident or another shooting. They happen more in the city than in a place like Beaumont, but I can guarantee you, 4225 West never thought they'd be part of a shooting during one of their shows.
I called the girls. They're on their way. Mr. Powell is going to stay with the kids. I also asked Gary to get a charter plane so they can get here faster.
Liam nods. I know he wants to hold Josie, and I can't imagine what's going through Caitlin's mind. She's been in this position before, and as much as I love her, I want a different outcome. At the end of the day, I want to go home with my husband by my side. I want just a little bit of happiness, especially for little one. She needs to know her dad. I sip my coffee gingerly. It's something to settle my stomach, but I know I'll need food even if I'm not hungry. Crackers. Those will have to do, until I know Jimmy's going to be okay. I can't, I won't leave his side until I know. We sit in silence. The television is showing the nightly news. Liam curses when the newscaster talks about the shooting at the concert. I'm sure this is a public relations nightmare for Gary. He'll probably tell Jimmy to ditch the extra baggage and take my baby away from me. Jimmy wouldn't do that, though, right?
Mrs. Davis?
I look up when my name's called. I stand on shaky legs, only to be flanked by Liam and Harrison. That's me, I say.
Go ahead and have a seat,
the doctor says as he sits down across from us. We sit back down. I can't look at the doctor. Instead, I focus on the ring on my finger and the way Jimmy looked when he put it there.
Your husband is in critical condition. The bullet entered from the right, passed through both lungs and exited on the left. He sustained considerable damage to his lungs. We've operated, and right now he's on a respirator. For the next 24 hours, everything is touch and go. We have to watch for blood clots forming and detaching. He'll have a nurse with him the whole time until the threat is gone. I'm very sorry, Mrs. Davis. I wish I could provide better news, but this is all I have.
When can I see him?
He can have one visitor at a time. You can go in when you're ready.
I nod. Thank you. He takes his leave. Once he's out of the waiting room, I collapse into Liam's arms and break down. My husband isn't going to make it, and there isn't a thing I can do about it. Harrison wraps his arms around me as well. His tears wet my back, while Liam's meet mine. Both these strong men hold me as we cry for the one we love.
Chapter 31 Jimmy.
Beep, beep, beep.
Chapter 32 Jenna. I stand on shaky legs, with Liam on one side and Harrison on the other. I'm taking liberties and going in first. Maybe I haven't earned it. I haven't known him long enough, but we share something that he can't share with Liam and Harrison. They walk me toward his room. How they know where it is, I don't know. Did the doctor tell me and I not listen? We bypass the nurse's station. I can't bear to look at them. I don't want to see the pity on their faces. I don't want them to look at me as if I'm about to lose my husband. I don't want to see their eyes wander to my midsection and have them shake their heads because I'll be a single mom soon. That's what I wanted, right? To be a single mom? Is this karma coming back to bite me in the ass because I was going to keep this baby a secret from Jimmy? Is he going to pay the price because I'm a selfish bitch and brought all this evil onto him? I should be the one lying in that bed. I should be the one who is in critical condition, fighting for my life. Jimmy doesn't deserve this. Harrison pushes the door open slowly. My senses become alive as I stare at the floor, my eyes moving slowly until I can see the wall in front of me. The room smells like antiseptic and Lysol. The walls are white. Jimmy hates white. He needs color. He wants vibrant displays of life. I close my eyes when I finally hear the beeping that's telling me his heart is still beating. It means that his blood is still pumping through his body, keeping him alive. But it's the whoosh of the machine helping him breathe that makes my knees buckle. He can't breathe. Oh, God, he can't breathe. Liam and Harrison grab my arms to steady me. I don't like hospitals and the bad things that go along with them. The whish and hum of machines designed to mimic human functions. The constant beep, beep, beeping of vital signs being measured. Come on, Jenna. Be strong. Think about the baby. Jimmy needs you to be strong for the baby right now. Liam's voice is too calm. I look at him briefly and know he's holding everything in. We step further into the room. I see the nurse first before I see him. I take a step back when I finally lay my eyes on him. His mohawk is flattened, his eyes closed. There's a tube coming out of his mouth and wires everywhere. My hand covers my mouth as I cry out, which gets the nurse's attention. She looks up from her computer screen with a scowl on her face. Only one visitor at a time. We know, Liam says. This is his wife, and as you can see, she's pregnant and unsteady on her feet. Shh, she says, pointing to the curtain behind us. Someone is sleeping in there. The three of us turn our heads and look. I look at Harrison, who shakes his head, then to Liam, who looks pissed off as hell. Why isn't he in a private room with security? Liam asks. He's just a patient. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. Only one visitor at a time. Liam nods and leads me over to Jimmy's bedside. Harrison slides a chair over for me to sit in. You'd think the nurse would do this, but apparently it's not her job. We're going to go see about getting JD moved. We'll be right back, Liam whispers in my ear. I don't know what he's going to do, but I have a feeling this nurse isn't going to like it. I lay my hand on top of Jimmy's and rest my head by his leg. I really want to crawl into bed with him and hold him like he holds me, but I know that isn't possible. Tears fall silently from my eyes as the pain in my chest builds. I want to talk to him, but not with this nurse in here. What I have to say is private, for his ears only. Who knows what this chick will blog about when she gets home at the end of her shift or who she's texting. You should talk to him. Her tone is snotty, which pisses me off. I want to, but you're here. My words have bite, but I don't care. I know he needs to hear my voice, but damn it if I want only him to hear me. Thing is, I wouldn't care if Liam and Harrison were with me. Where's his wedding ring? I ask.
Behind you. His personal belongings are in that bag.
I get up and go to the bag and dump its contents on the counter. His ring clanks on the hard wooden top, along with his wallet, chain, and watch. I open his wallet to pull out the picture of little one. I think he needs it. He needs to feel close to her. He had a picture in his wallet. It's not here.
I don't know what to tell you.
When I look back, she's smirking. She knows damn well where that picture went. It's okay, I say, sliding his wallet into my purse. I'll just let his doctor know that someone went through his wallet. She scoffs.
Maybe he took it out.
Or maybe he didn't because he showed it to me before he went on stage. I stand tall and lean over Jimmy. My husband carries that photo everywhere he goes. It's his daughter. Funny how he's not able to account for his belongings at the moment, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure it'll turn up.
Turn up? What's she going to do? Put it back in the bag after I leave the room? Does she actually think I'm going to leave his side? I sit back down and pick up Jimmy's hand. He's warm, and for me that's a good sign. I hold his hand to my face, placing my lips there. I don't know if he can feel my tears, but I hope they aren't annoying him. I don't know how long I sit there like that with him. Minutes? Hours? For me, time has stopped. The constant whoosh and beep are somewhat soothing, although I'd give anything for him to open his eyes and smile at me. Every so often the nurse stands, presses some buttons, and sits back down. I want to look at her computer screen and see if she's playing solitaire or if she's actually working. She's probably checking all her social media sites. Liam and Harrison walk back into the room, followed by a tall man.
Jenna, this is Dr. Bryant. He's the hospital director. We're going to move JD to a private room, and he's going to waive the one visitor rule.
I've never been more amazed by Liam than I am now. I stand and pull him into my arms. He knows that I need him and Harrison right now, just as much as they need to be near Jimmy.
Mrs. Davis, I'm sorry about your husband.
Thank you, I choke out as I shake his hand. I just want him to wake up so I can take him home.
Yes, of course. We're doing all we can for him.
And just like that, the glass wall to Jimmy's room is collapsed. Men and women come in and transfer wires to another machine that they set on top of him. The nurse, who unfortunately has to come with us, pushes her cart out. Jimmy's bed is pulled from the wall and we follow behind. I can't look at anyone while we pass. I don't want to see their faces or know that they recognize who is in that bed. His new room is much larger with windows that overlook the courtyard. At least now we'll have something to look at.
Mrs. Davis, I'm assuming you'll be staying here? We all will be, and his mom will be here soon,
Harrison answers.
We also have two more coming, our wives that will need access. I'm not sure if they'll stay, but at least for a few days they'll be here. It's against... I told you, we'll pay and we'll make a fucking donation to the hospital if he walks out of here alive,
Liam fires back.
Of course, Mr. Page.
Mr. Page? Looks like Liam used his status to get his way. I know he doesn't like to do that, but I'm thankful he did. This nurse, I ask, pointing to her, does she have to stay or can she set up outside his door?
Oh, no, she can set up in the hall like the others do.
Perfect. I arch my eyebrow at her. Take that, you wench. Also, my husband had a picture of our daughter's ultrasound in his wallet. He showed it to me before he went on stage, and now it's not there. I'm wondering if you can ask the staff that handled his belongings if they found it.
The lawsuit, if it's leaked, won't be pretty,
Liam adds, making me wish I could think quickly on my feet like him. Dr. Bryant nods before leaving us to Jimmy. I let Harrison and Liam go to his side while I stand at the foot of the bed. My hand rests on his foot while the guys pick up each of his hands. Liam's shoulders shake and Harrison is gasping for air. I don't know who to go to first, so I stand there and watch as these brothers cry for one of their own. I'll never pretend to understand their bond. Not after witnessing this.
Chapter 33 Jimmy
Beep! Beep! Beep!
Chapter 34 Jenna I lose track of time. I'm stiff, sore, and hungry. My arms ache from the position they've been in. My back burns from the strain, and little one is kicking up something fierce. I didn't bring my headphones because Jimmy would have just sung to her, but he's not singing. Yet. Hours. That's how long we've been here. The sun is up, or maybe it's setting again and I'm really not with it. Harrison's head rests at the end of Jimmy's bed while Liam is opposite me. Both of them are asleep, exhaustion finally taking over, but neither of them are willing to leave this room. I can't blame them. I'm not leaving either. I hate getting up to go to the bathroom as it is. Gary has moved the tour bus to the parking lot. I can see it from the window. People, mostly women, gather around it. I had suggested that Liam and Harrison go and sleep in there, but they just shook their heads. We know the first 24 hours are critical. Those are the words that we recall, and each time he twitches or the machine beeps a little more rapidly, I panic. And when I panic, they panic. The cycle is endless. I sit in the windowsill watching the small vigil formed by the bus. They must be the fans that saw the shooting happen. It won't be long before the press is outside and the bus is surrounded. Gary said the detective is coming by today. He needs my statement. I have to relive the nightmare. I have to recall every second of what I remember from last night as it unfolded, in slow motion, right before my eyes. The only thing I want to know is, where's Damien? The door opens slowly and the nurse, a much nicer one, waves me over. I slide off the windowsill carefully and walk to her. She holds the door open for me to follow her out. I look at Jimmy and back at her, and she knows. She places her hand on my shoulder and leads me to the window where I can still see him. Months ago, I wouldn't be standing here. I'd be at home, taking care of the kids if this had happened. But he knew. He knew that we were having a baby and wasn't going to take no for an answer when he asked me to marry him. The whole time during the ceremony I thought he was doing it so I wouldn't be alone, but that wasn't the case. He did it because he wants us to be a family. I'm so sorry to bother you, but I wanted to give you this. She hands me little one's ultrasound picture. Tears fill my eyes immediately. The nurse rests her hand on my shoulder, giving me the comfort I need. I'm sorry you're going through this, but we've taken steps to eliminate the issue from arising again. Thank you, I say with a broken voice. I think I have something that will make you smile, Mrs. Davis. There are two women out front who are asking for you. Did they say who they are? My luck is they're crazed fans trying to get in to see Jimmy. The nurse fishes a piece of paper out of her pocket. Caitlin Powell and Josie Westbury is what I have here. They seem very eager to see you. She smiles softly. She knows what those two names mean to me. I know a smile is breaking out across my face, and it's going hand in hand with tears. Thank you. You can let them in. She nods and walks away. I look back into the room. Liam and Harrison are still sleeping, so I leave them be. I'm going to be selfish and fall into the arms of my best friends before their men come to take them away from me. Their strides are long and powerful, and they race to me once they get around the corner. They drop their bags and pull me into their arms. The definition of a group hug is nothing compared to being held by your two best friends. Words don't need to be said. The emotion is enough. I can feel their shoulders shake and hear their labored breathing. We are all sharing the pain and anguish of not knowing. Josie breaks first. She wipes her eyes before picking up her bag. She leaves me with Caitlin. When I look at her, it's not pity I see in her eyes, but knowledge. Caitlin's been here. She knows what I'm going through. Caitlin takes my hand in hers and holds it to her heart. Not only can I feel her heart beating, but under my palm are her wedding rings. They hang from a necklace the twins bought her for her birthday. She places her hand over mine and closes her eyes. I went to see Mason before we got on the plane. Sometimes when I'm there I don't say anything, and other times I talk about the girls, Harrison and Quinn. But this time I told him what you're going through and asked him to help. No one knows this, but I asked him for a sign that being with Harrison was going to be okay, and it started snowing. Right there with me, lying on the ground, a snowflake fell, so I took that and ran with it. As you know, Mason was pretty amazing, and he loved you, so I know he's watching over Jimmy. I'm here for you, Jenna, whatever you need. You were there for me so many times when I was going through everything. I hate seeing this type of place with us here. You don't need to stay, Caitlin. I know it's hard. Caitlin shakes her head. She lets her tears fall. I need to be here. This is where I'm supposed to be. I know it's hard for her to be here. I know it's going to be difficult for her to walk into Jimmy's room and see him looking similar to the way Mason looked. I won't be upset if she can't handle this. I hope she knows this. Caitlin and I walk hand in hand back to Jimmy's room. Josie waits for us by the door. I step in first. Liam and Harrison are still out cold. I think it's sweet to see them like this. But once they know the girls are here, things will become emotional again. Josie wraps her arms around Liam, and Caitlin leans down and kisses Harrison on his cheek. Harrison wakes first and moves out of his chair lightning fast. Caitlin is off the ground before she knows what's hit her. He has his face buried in her neck. Her legs are wrapped around his waist, and her hand holds his head to hers. He carries her out of the room. Only when I sit down do I see Liam awake. But he's not moving. He's holding on to Josie's arms while she whispers in his ear. Liam wasn't here when we went through this with Mason, and neither was Harrison. But they both know the magnitude of what this moment means for Josie and Caitlin. What are they saying? Josie asks. I shake my head. They monitor everything. Right now they're watching for blood clots, and I don't know. I just want him to wake up so we can go home, I say, trying to keep my voice from breaking. I pick up Jimmy's hand and hold it to my lips. The press is outside and there are fans in the parking lot. Gary says there isn't much he can do about it because they're not disrupting anyone and they're staying out of the way. There are a lot of flowers and gifts by the bus. Gary said he'll leave them there until people stop showing up. The shooting is all over the news and media channels. A few of the channels are outside. I think they're waiting for you and Harrison to say something.
They can wait, Liam says sharply.
Okay, babe. Gary will take care of it.
Josie rubs his shoulders, trying to soothe him.
We brought you some more clothes, Jenna. Caitlin and I will make sure you guys have food and whatever else you need, so you only have to leave for a few minutes at a time. What do you need right now?
For my husband to wake up?
She needs food and a shower.
I glare at Liam. No, I don't. You need to go shower. Why are you wearing scrubs?
Liam looks at Josie over his shoulder before looking back at Jimmy. I was there. I held him until the paramedics arrived.
Oh, Liam. Josie cries as she wraps her arms around him. Come on, let's go and get cleaned up, and when we come back, I'll take Jenna to get some food.
I open my mouth to balk, but the look Josie gives me shuts my mouth.
I don't want to leave, but the thought of food makes little one kick. I can't neglect her. I need her. As soon as they're gone, I lay my head on Jimmy's leg. I want to be near his heart, but I can't touch his chest. It'll cause him pain, and I can't have that. I hold his hand and take a deep breath.
Jimmy, I need you to fight and come back to us. Little one and I need you. She wants to know her daddy, and I know you want to meet her. If you didn't, you wouldn't have taken me to Bora Bora and asked me to marry you. You made me think you were asking because I was having a baby, when you knew the whole time that we were going to have our baby. The night of Josie and Liam's wedding, you were my fantasy come true. I had told the girls that you were on my list, but I never imagined days later it would happen. When you came up to me, I didn't have any fear. You were someone I wanted, the only one I wanted since I left my other life. I asked myself many times since that night, why you? And the only answer I can come up with is that my body craved you. When I would look at you, I could see myself with you, and as much as that scared me, I wanted it. If anyone were to ask me then why I married you, my answer would be because you charmed me. You have this way about you, it's hard to describe. That day at the doctor's when you showed up late and I asked for a divorce, you were adamant that we weren't getting one. I wanted to walk away, but you wouldn't let me. I've wanted to ask you about Los Angeles, but I haven't. Half of me doesn't want to know, but the other half does. But right now, I just want you to wake up and sing to me. Sing to our baby because she misses you. I miss you.
You must be my daughter-in-law.
Chapter 35 Jimmy
Beep, beep, beep.
Chapter 36 Jenna Why isn't he awake yet? I pull at my hair as I pace back and forth. It's been 2 weeks. He made it through the 24-hour mark. His brain activity is normal. So why isn't he awake? I ask the doctor, who's flashing his penlight in Jimmy's eyes.
We aren't sure.
What do you mean, you aren't sure? You're the damn doctor, and my husband has been like this for 14 days.
I understand, Mrs. Davis, he says as he pockets his pen.
If Jimmy was awake, I know he'd say something about the pocket protector. Who wears those anymore? No, you don't understand, I sigh, and rest my head against the wall. I'm frustrated and scared. I don't understand their nonchalance about all of this. Why isn't he awake? Bridget comes over and rubs my shoulders. She's been a godsend since she arrived. I know I have Liam and Harrison here with me, and Caitlin and Josie on the weekends, but Bridget has been a rock for me. When she walked in the door, I didn't know what to expect.
You must be my daughter-in-law.
I turn and look behind me. A woman stands in the doorway. She's petite, blonde, and very well put together. Her dress fits her body perfectly, stopping just above her knees. She screams money. If I didn't know better, I'd say she's someone who snuck in here to be close to Jimmy. She doesn't look like a mom.
but she does look like Jimmy. Or rather, he looks like her, except with dark hair. "Hi," I say meekly. "This is not how I wanted to meet my mother-in-law. She's supposed to be here a week before little one arrives, and Jimmy is supposed to introduce us." I wipe my hands on my pants and stand on shaky legs. I walk closer to her, blocking her line of sight to Jimmy. I extend my hand. "I'm Jenna." She looks at me with an unreadable expression. I feel like a moron standing here like this. She probably hates me. I would. It's my ex that did this to her son. She drops the oversized bag she is holding and wraps her arms around me, catching me off guard. Her embrace is tight and welcoming. I close my arms around her and hug her back as if we haven't seen each other in years. "I'm Bridget," she says, pulling away. She sets her hands on my shoulders and appraises me. "Well, Jimmy said you were beautiful, but he obviously forgot to add that you're also stunning." I blush and shake my head. "I'm gross," I say. "I think he'd say something else if he saw me right now." She shakes her head. "He'd say, 'Hey, Mum, look at my wife. Isn't she gorgeous?' And you are. You staying by his bed, holding his hand and saying those words to him makes you the most beautiful woman in the world, in my book."
"I'm really happy you're here."
"So am I. I just wish we were meeting each other in happier circumstances, like the birth of my first granddaughter. Can I?" She looks down at my stomach and back at me. Just as quickly as I give my okay, her hands are on my stomach.
"Hi there, baby. I'm your grandma."
And as if she knows, little one kicks nice and hard. Bridget's mouth drops open in surprise as I choke back a half-laugh, half-cry. Jimmy's missing this, and that breaks my heart.
"You'll have to forgive my daughter-in-law. She's tired and uncomfortable. I know it has nothing to do with that tiny little bed you've given her and the lack of sleep she gets because the night nurse is still checking on my son every few minutes."
I try not to smile, but in this moment, I love Bridget. She takes shots at the doctor and night nurse every chance she gets, but she does it with a smile and British words that make them think she's being nice to them.
"We can send in another bed."
"That would be lovely," she says without missing a beat. "Also, send in an obstetrician. I can't see her flying home anytime soon to attend an appointment when her husband is like this."
"I'll send in the necessary forms."
Bridget stops rubbing my shoulders. I turn and watch as she faces off with the doctor.
"You should call her doctor in Beaumont to make things easier for her. She's under a lot of stress and is very close to her due date. Please respect the fact that she doesn't want to leave her husband's side and send your colleague down here."
I can see the doctor sigh and try not to laugh.
"I'll have someone come down to see Mrs. Davis."
The doctor takes his leave, shutting Jimmy's door behind him. "You're brilliant." Bridget shrugs, walking over to Jimmy. She threads her fingers through his hair and smiles.
"I was going to be a solicitor when I met Jimmy's dad. I was young and stupid, and I thought I could tame him. And maybe I did at first, but it didn't last very long."
"Jimmy doesn't talk about his dad." She shakes her head.
"No, I don't imagine he does. James treats Jimmy as a friend or drinking partner, but never as a son. I sent Jimmy to live with his father because he wanted to be a musician. I had hoped Jimmy would grow out of it, but he didn't. Not that I don't appreciate what he does, but this is how I saw him, with a wife and a baby on the way. I didn't want him to end up like his father, but the music is in his veins. When Jimmy rang and told me he was married, I prayed it wasn't some drunken Vegas wedding conducted by one of those Elvis impersonators. The minute he started telling me about you, I knew he had found someone to love him the way he deserves to be loved."
"We're the cliché one-night stand who ends up pregnant," Bridget smiles. "And that night changed his life. I can remember all the phone calls after that. I didn't know what happened, but I knew something had changed. He started talking about hanging around in Beaumont more, and for the life of me I had no idea why, until he told me about you. One night stand or not, you changed his life."
"What the bloody hell are you doing here?"
I jump at the sound of Bridget's voice and her book slamming. I look groggily around the room before another body comes into focus.
Standing in the doorway is Jimmy's dad. Even though I've never met him, I know who he is. Everyone does, and there's no mistaking him now.
It's good to see you too, Bridget. I see my money is treating you well.
Bridget stands, setting her afghan and book in her chair.
James, what are you doing here?
Is that not my son lying there?
Bridget looks at me, to Jimmy, and back to me. Her eyes tell me everything. She's sorry.
You don't get to pick and choose when you're going to be a father, James.
James stares her down as he walks by her, taking the empty seat next to Jimmy's bed.
Who are you? You let some groupie in here, Bridget? That's unlike you.
I'm his wife, I say proudly. He scoffs.
I thought I told him to leave you curbside.
Excuse me? He cocks an eyebrow.
Same trick his mother used to trap me. I told my boy he shouldn't be falling for this shit.
For the love of God, James, you don't even know the full story. There is no way Jimmy would confide in you. Don't listen to him, Jenna. He's full of crap.
My son thinks with his dick. I know him better than you think.
This can't be happening. It can't be. What kind of heartless person is this man?
That's enough, James.
Liam comes into view, and I swear he puffs out his chest.
If you think for a minute that you're welcome here, you're sadly mistaken. And if you think you're going to disrespect Jenna and Bridget, I won't need security to escort you. I'll do it myself.
How in God's name did you even get in here?
Bridget asks. James smiles, and I know how without him even saying the words.
Unbelievable, she says.
I think you owe Jimmy's wife an apology,
Liam says, as he sits down on my bed-turned couch during the day.
No, it's fine. I don't want him to pretty up his ugly-assed words with a half-assed apology.
Liam and Bridget laugh, which causes James to shake his head. It's clear now why Jimmy never talked about his dad. I wouldn't talk about him either. Jimmy is nothing like him. At least he's not now. I can't imagine Jimmy ever being this way, though. I know he was a man-whore, but the way James is, it's too chauvinistic and patronizing.
I'll let you stay.
You let me stay?
I stand. Not that I can do anything to this man, but he needs to know I'm serious. Yes, I'll let you stay. This is my husband. You have no say here. If you're in here, it's because I say so. Tough shit. If you don't like it, I don't care. My husband is in a damn coma, and I won't have you in here thinking your shit doesn't stink, Mr. Davis.
I sit back down and bite the inside of my cheek when Liam starts clapping.
No wonder Jimmy loves you, he says.
I try not to smile, but I can't help it. I bury my face into Jimmy's side, not wanting to look at anyone.
James, will you come in to get me a wad?
I roll my eyes and look over my shoulder. This face I know. I've seen her before. Liam stands, and so does Bridget. My eyes travel down to her midsection and see it protruding, just not as big as mine.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Liam blurts out.
You're pregnant?
Bridget asks. She looks at James, who shrugs.
Who are you?
I ask, breaking up the back and forth.
I'm Chelsea.
She's Jimmy's ex and a vapid little whore.
Chelsea rolls her eyes.
You never change, Liam.
I see that you don't either. Let me guess. You're here to pin that on Jimmy?
Liam points to her belly. My stomach turns. My mouth drops open. This can't be happening.
It's not Jimmy's.
Harrison walks into the room with our lunch. He sets it down on the table and proceeds to kiss Bridget on the cheek.
Don't worry about her. He loves you.
He whispers in my ear before kissing me on the cheek. Harrison surveys the room.
Before you even open your mouth, Chelsea, to blame Jimmy for your pregnancy, I know the truth.
Truth? I ask.
His father knocked up his ex.
Oh, good Lord. You're going to burn in hell, James.
Chapter 37 Jimmy
Beep, 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 beep.
The voices I hear sound familiar, but I can't see their faces. A hand touches mine, keeping me warm. This touch is familiar and comfortable. But I want to know who it is. Fingers run through my hair. I want to move my head into that warm hand. I try, but to no avail. My throat hurts. I've swallowed something big, and it's stuck. How am I breathing?
Beep, 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 beep.
What is that noise? I need to see it. I need to make it stop. It's hurting my head. My chest hurts. It's a dull pain, but nonetheless it hurts, and I have no idea why. Why am I hurting? Where the hell am I? Why are the curtains... The curtains aren't closed. Pain rips through my side, cutting off my air. I can't breathe. My eyes flash open. I gag on the foreign object that's down my throat.
Calm down, Jimmy. Let me help you.
I look into a pair of brown eyes that I don't recognize. Her hair is grey and pulled back away from her face.
I know you're scared, but I need you to listen to me. This is a tube to help you breathe. You've sustained some damage to your lungs, and before we remove the tube, we need an X-ray. Now, there's a room full of people waiting to see you, so I'm going to sit you up, but no talking. If you feel the need to cough, please do. I'll be back in a few minutes.
The moment she moves out of my line of vision, I'm searching for the green eyes that light up my world. My bed rises, and I blink rapidly to clear my eyes. She'll be here, right? Her smile. That's what I see first. I try to smile back, but this fucking tube is in my way. Her beautiful eyes are watery and red-rimmed. She's been crying, and I haven't been around to comfort her. I raise my arms, well, as far as my left one will go. I look down briefly and see multiple tubes coming out of it. I'm a fucking wreck. Jenna moves closer. Her fingers touch my cheek and move down to my chin. I lean into her touch, needing to feel her on my skin. She rests her forehead against mine. I feel her body shake. My right arm moves slowly. Once I'm touching her, I'm not going to stop. I hold her head to mine and try to get her to kiss me. I may not be able to move my lips much, but I know she can, and right now I need them to touch me. She knows what I want because she wants it too. When her lips touch my cheek, it's like an explosion. Fireworks go off in my chest. My skin tingles. I don't know if I'll ever survive without her. I guess I'll never tempt fate to find out.
I'm so sorry, Jimmy. I love you so much.
She pulls away far too soon for me. I know there are other people in the room, but right now I don't give a shit. I only want her. I have no idea why she's apologizing, and I don't care. I don't want her to leave me. I move my hand down to her stomach and push against little one. My heart races when she pushes back. She knows her daddy's touch. Jenna holds my hand there for a moment before backing away. My mum comes into view, and she looks more beautiful than the last time I saw her.
Oh, Jimmy,
she says as she kisses my cheek. She's crying too. And I'm starting to realize that I might not be okay. I grunt, getting Jenna's attention. I pull at the tube in my mouth, but she knocks my hand away. I fight around her hand, trying to pull it out. I need to ask what happened. I don't remember how I got here.
Jimmy, stop,
she says, holding my hand down. I know I'm stronger than her, but right now I can't get out of her grip.
I know you're upset, but it's okay. We aren't going anywhere.
I shake my head. That's not what I'm upset about. I need to know what the fuck happened to me. I relax, so she will let go of my hand. And when she does, I make the phone sign, holding my fingers up to my ear. She knows exactly what I need and starts searching through her bag for her phone. She hands it to me, and I type my question. What happened to me? She pulls away the phone and reads my message. Her eyes find mine, and I can see the pain and hurt in them. She looks so sad. I hate thinking that I'm the reason she looks like that. She picks up my hand and holds it, locking our fingers together. You were shot, she says, taking a deep breath. Damien was there. I saw him, and he had a gun. He shot you and escaped. The bullet went through both your lungs and exited. You've been in here a month. I listen to what she says, grabbing for her phone again. Where is he? She shakes her head. They haven't found him yet, but the detectives have been very good and stop by every day to see how you're doing. We've all given statements. They're looking for him. A month? She nods. Yeah, and I haven't left yet. The guys are here too, and Caitlin and Josie come on the weekends. Gary's outside with the bus, and you have fans waiting for you to wake up. Liam and Harrison have even done an acoustic set for them. The press was here for a while, but they left after a week, but I'm sure they'll be back. Your dad and his girlfriend are here. My eyes widen. I don't want Jenna to be anywhere in the vicinity of my dad. Don't worry. I know, but you can tell me your side when you're better. We're good, Jimmy. I love you, I type to her. She smiles. I love you too, little one. She's good. Josie brought my headphones so she could listen to you. It's almost time though, Jimmy. You're bigger. Jenna laughs, and even though I can't remember not hearing her for a month, I've missed her laugh. Yeah, I'm as big as a whale. I shake my head and type, you're fucking gorgeous, sweet lips. I've missed that. I'll never stop. Before I can find a way to get her into my bed so I can show her how much I love her, the doctor walks in. I hate that Gemma has to move aside, but all the machines are right there, and that's where he needs to be.
How are you feeling, Jimmy?
Does he expect me to grunt my answer? Does he want me to act like a bloody zombie? Because I can. That's what I feel like I've been run over repeatedly.
We're going to take you down for an X-ray now. We usually do them here, but getting your wife to leave the room is a bit of a hassle. I try to shrug, but fail miserably. I'm not going to lie. Knowing she was here the whole time makes me love her even more.
Here, Jenna says, placing a piece of paper in my hand. I bring it up to my eyes, and warmth surges through me. It's my little one, and I don't give a shit that in that picture she looks like an alien life form. I know she's growing inside of Jenna and ready to make her debut. I place the picture on my chest and squeeze Jenna's hand as the nurse starts moving my bed. I attempt my half-assed smile at her. She loves me. I wink, which makes her giggle. Yeah, I need to get the fuck out of this bed, and fast.
Chapter 38 Jenna. Jimmy's been having his X-ray for over 2 hours. I was told they'd be right back and to stay here, but he's been gone too long. Between my hair pulling, lip chewing, and constantly looking at my watch, I'm going crazy. Everyone else is cool as a cucumber. I'm the only one freaking out. He just woke up and now he's gone. Someone from the hospital is a snitch. The press is gathering outside and none of us have contacted them. I watch as they assemble in the space that was designated for them after Jimmy was shot. More fans are starting to show up, too. They linger by the bus, waiting for one of the guys to come out and talk to them. Liam and Harrison have been so accommodating to them.
I told Jimmy about the acoustic show, but it's been more than that. The guys have had catered meals sent out to them and even held a 3-hour meet and greet. When I asked them why, they said if they were going to sit outside and wait for word on Jimmy, this was the least they could do. I agreed, but opted to stay inside next to my husband instead of thanking them myself. Maybe when we leave, Jimmy and I can thank them together.
You should sit down, honey. He'll be back soon.
How do you know? I asked Bridget. When Jimmy's dad and his ex-girlfriend showed up pregnant, I thought she was going to come unglued, but she's held strong and kept her head held high. Whatever James did to her, it doesn't show.
James, what did you do?
I don't know what you're talking about, Bridget.
I watch them, back and forth. James is smug and uncaring, I can tell by his tone. I look at the woman in the doorway. Her face flashes before my eyes. I've seen her so many times in the articles about the band. I was a fan of 4225 West long before I knew that Liam was Noah's dad. I'd buy every magazine just to read the newest gossip, and she'd been in there. They were engaged. I knew that. I look back at my sleeping husband and pray that he wakes up soon. I'm not mad that she's here, but curious. And what does James have to do with her? Bridget doesn't seem to want to answer James, and he's not offering up any information. I'm so confused and tired. I just want everyone to leave.
What are you doing here?
I ask her. I wish I could remember her name, but for the life of me, I can't. Jimmy never talks about her, and I don't ask. We have exes for a reason.
I'm here because of Jimmy.
He doesn't want you here, I put forth. She scoffs and throws her hair over her shoulder.
Yes, he does.
I shake my head.
He doesn't.
She's right, Chelsea,
Harrison adds. Chelsea, that's right. Either he or Liam said it before when she showed up. Chelsea. The ragmags never did say why they broke up. Not that it matters anymore.
You're pregnant?
She asks. I want to say, no shit, but I nod. It's clear that I am.
Who's the father?
Oh, for crying out loud, Chelsea. Jimmy is the father, you silly girl.
Bridget throws her hands up in the air.
Why did you bring her here, James?
What makes you think she came with me? Jimmy's the one who knocked her up.
My mouth drops. Liam stands and Harrison yells out,
Bullshit!
Excuse me,
James says. This is a back-and-forth tennis match, all taking place while my husband's in a coma. It's a stupid soap opera.
Jenna, look at me.
I do as Harrison commands.
J.D. did not knock her up. She's trying to pin it on Jimmy, but he thinks his dad is the father of her baby.
How does he know? I ask, quietly lacking the confidence that I need to assert myself here.
Because when he was home, she moved into J.D.'s apartment, but he told her that he didn't want her and that he didn't think the baby was his. He saw Chelsea and his father at a cafe having a tete-a-tete right before he left.
Harrison looks at James.
He saw his father kiss his ex-fiancée and place his hands on her stomach.
How do you know about this, Harrison?
Bridget asks.
He came and told me. He was freaking out a bit because he had left Jenna alone and was in L.A. dealing with Chelsea when he should have been in Beaumont.
I damn well knew it, James. My God, what kind of low-life man are you to sleep with your son's ex? I mean, seriously. And you? You're a disgusting piece of work. After everything you did to Jimmy, no wonder he calls you a leech.
Wow, I say.
This is why J.D. didn't want you to know his dad,
Liam adds.
Hey, now...
No, James, you don't get to make excuses for your behavior. I wish I could say I regret sending him to you, but he met the boys and his wife, so it must have been for the best.
I'm happy you're here, Bridget.
Me too. I just wish we didn't meet like this. I'm worried I'm going to outlast my welcome and you won't want me here around when the baby is born.
Nonsense, I say, pulling her into my arms. She's been a comfort to have here. My mom wanted to come, but I told her it was okay to stay home. I kept her updated daily and told her if I needed her, I'd call. But with Liam, Harrison, and Bridget here 24/7, the room is crowded. Jimmy will be happy that you're here. Bridget moves my hair off my shoulder,
Don't give him a hard time about Chelsea when he fully wakes. He was in love with her once, a long time ago. He thought she was the one for him, but she put him through hell and back. First with her family, and then she cheated on him. I'd never seen him so broken.
Is that why he started sowing his wild oats? She laughs. But I really don't want to call my husband a man-whore, even though that is what he was.
I guess you could say that. He very much did play the field, until he met you. I knew the day that you two... Well, you know, because when he rang me, he was different. He was happy and talking about moving to Beaumont to be closer to Liam and Harrison. Before, he was adamant that he would stay in L.A. because he needed to be a free spirit.
I'm usually not that type of girl.
I know you're not.
What type of girl?
We both turn to Jimmy coming back into the room. His breathing tube has been removed and he's smiling. Once his bed is in place, I rush over and place my lips on his. He pulls away too quickly for my liking.
What's wrong? I ask.
I haven't brushed my teeth in a month, sweet lips. I would really like to before you start kissing me again. We can have a nurse come in and give you a sponge bath, Mr. Davis.
I see red when the doctor suggests that. His mom and I have been the ones bathing him while he was in the coma. I'll be dead before some nurse comes in to wash him now that he's awake. I'll do it. Jimmy smiles, although it doesn't reach his eyes. He's tired. I can see it in his face. He's trying to stay awake to please us. I brush his hair away from his face. He leans into my hand. I hope that I'm bringing him a bit of comfort.
I'll repeat what I told you after I read your x-ray. You'll need to wear the oxygen mask until your levels rise, but can take it off to answer questions. You're going to feel tired for a while, and even though it seems like you've been asleep, your body doesn't realize that. So be patient with your recovery.
Thank you,
he says. His voice is hoarse and scratchy. It sounds like he's been yelling for days on end.
I'll leave you to take your bath, Bridget says, winking at Jimmy as she leaves behind the doctor.
I close all the blinds and fill the bucket with warm water. You have a couple of scars, I say, when I come back. I roll down his blankets. I untie the top of his hospital-issued nightgown and let it fall open. They can do plastic surgery if you want them removed, but they're healing nice. Jimmy looks down at his chest and stifles a cry. I gingerly kiss his chest away from his sutures.
I look like Frankenstein.
You look like my husband. I set the warm sponge onto his skin. He shivers, and as much as I'd love to say it's because I'm touching him, I know it's from the cold air. They had to go in and stop the bleeding. If they hadn't, we would have lost you. I clean around the cut they made and make my way to the first bullet hole. He shot you here, Jimmy, while I was watching you perform, while Liam was singing Little One song. I saw him in the crowd, but the security guard couldn't understand what I was saying until he saw the gun. I tried to get to you, but Liam stopped me. He saw you fall to the ground. Harrison carried me away from you. The bullet exited here, I say, as I move to the other side. Liam held you until the medics arrived. He put his knee on one side and his hand here to stop the bleeding. Days later, the medic stopped by and told him if he hadn't done that, they would have lost you on the way here. He saved my family. I make my way down his body. He looks at me when I drip water over his semi-erect penis.
I shouldn't be turned on, but I am.
I laugh and shake my head.
The doctor said we can't have sex for a while.
You asked?
Yeah. I haven't been able to please my wifey for a month. I have a lot of catching up to do.
I'm not going anywhere, Jimmy.
Can I tell you about Chelsea?
You don't have to. Harrison filled me in.
I want to.
Okay, I say, sitting down in the hard plastic chair next to his bed. I pick his hand up, careful of the IV, and place it to my lips. This is going to be hard for him, and the last thing I want is for him to think I'm angry. I'm not. I almost lost my husband. It's going to take a lot to piss me off these days.
When I went back to L.A., I found out that she had moved into my flat and was spouting all this crap about being pregnant. We had slept together a few days before you and I got married, so I thought for one fucked up moment that I had ruined everything with you. I was so stupid, Jenna. I had a bad feeling about it straight away, but didn't leave. I saw Chelsea and my dad together, but couldn't for the life of me understand why my dad would do that to me. I went and saw him and thought that after I told him about you and little one, he'd own up. But he didn't. I wanted to tell you, but I didn't want you to think that I cheated on you because I didn't. From the moment I asked you to marry me, I've been yours.
Tears drip down my face as he tries to pull me closer. I don't let on that he's not at full strength yet and move to where he needs me.
I just want to hold you, Jenna.
He doesn't know what those words mean to me. It's not that he wants to hold me, but opening up about his dad and ex means the world to me. I adjust so I can lie with him easily. I've been doing this for a month. I'm a pro now. I rest my head in the crook of his neck and play with the stubble on his chin. It doesn't escape me that this is what I've been waiting for. I've needed this moment since the night of the concert, and he knows it.
Chapter 39. Jimmy. I'm experiencing one of the most erotic moments in my life, and there isn't jack shit I can do about it. I'm too weak physically, and because of that I can't even begin to please my wife. I can only remember what she feels like wrapped around my dick and how she sounds when she's moaning my name. Fuck, right now I can't even breathe without the aid of some godforsaken machine. I want to get out of this bed, but I can't. I can't even have a piss by myself. I have to take a leak into a bucket. Thank fuck the plastic tube sticking out of my dick has gone. I hate thinking about everything my wife has seen this past month. I hate that she's seeing the absolute worst from me. For better or for worse, in sickness and health, those are the vows we said to each other, and look at me taking advantage of those words to the max. I'm going to throw myself my own fucking pity party and ask her to buy me a bloody cake so I can celebrate. Her fucking nutter of an ex shot me like the bastard coward he is. He can't fight like a man. No, he hits women. And when that doesn't do it for him, he shoots people. If I ever... I close my eyes as the sponge moves over my body. Her touch is gentle and soothing. I can tell without even asking her that she's been doing this the entire time I've been here. I'm glad it's her. Not that I want her to stare at my fucked-up body, but she has the most reason to take care of me. With my luck, I would probably have got my own personal Sam, and she'd cut my crown jewels off, or something equally as messed up. I have my wife, one that loves me, no matter what, and if this doesn't prove that we're going to make it through anything, I don't know what will. I listen intently as she recounts what happened. Her voice, it does something to me, even though it shouldn't. I shouldn't be turned on right now, but I am. My arm, the one without all the wires, tries to move, but it's slow and unsteady. It's unbelievable how 1 month of no movement renders it useless. My fingers finally get close enough to touch her hair when she smiles at me. She leans forward and rests her head in the crook of my neck. My limp arm falls on her. Romantic, right? I just want to hold you, Jenna. I can't even begin to think how she's felt this past month. If I do, I'll go crazy. If she was in this bed and our roles were reversed, I don't know what I would have done. Having her lie beside me isn't enough, but I know that's all I'm going to get at the moment. She's not going to let me get away with anything. You should put your oxygen mask on. I scoff and roll my eyes. I'm trying to love you right now. I'm almost out of breath and can't even think about how different my life is going to be now. I need to hold you.
I told you, I'm not going anywhere.
She sits up, already breaking her promise. You just left me. She shakes her head and giggles.
I'm covering you up. You don't want to catch a cold, and you don't want your mom to see you like this.
I think my mum knows we have sex, sweet lips, I say, pointing to her belly.
Incorrigible, that's what you are. We can't have sex, Jimmy. You need to heal.
But my sexy wifey, you can straddle me and hang on to the rails. I'll do all the work.